Hey everyone, if you know me, you know that I've been investing in precious metals for many, many years. Once I realized that private banking cartels could drastically manipulate currencies, putting my family savings in jeopardy, I decided to take matters into my own hand and diversify our savings strategy. This is why I buy physical silver and gold and invest in metals through our Roth and 401k, and I only invest with Colonial Metals Group. CMG is the exclusive sponsor of the Shannon Joy Show, and they're helping me set up a safe and secure self-directed IRA where I have access to my assets no matter what the stock market, or for that matter, the government is doing. Let the team of experts at Colonial help you protect your family's future with an extra special offer just for the SJ audience. Click on the link in the description below or call 888-705 0950. That's 888-705-0950, and you'll be eligible to receive a free safe and up to $10,000 in free silver just for the SJ audience. Join me today and take back your power. Secure your wealth with Colonial Metals Group. Hello, world, and welcome to the Shannon Joy Show. We're broadcasting from the Joy Virtual Studio right here in the beautiful Finger Lakes region of New York State. It is so good to be with all of you today. It is Friday. Thank you, Jesus. We are live on Rumble. We are live on Twitter, live on Spreely. And of course, you can grab us on every major podcast platform. So glad to be with all of you today and dealing with a few technical difficulties, but I think you can always see me. Yep. Mopar2122 is on the live chat. We have Studio 84. 24. Love to broadcast from the Great Smoky Mountains of East Tennessee on their platform as well. Roku TV, Apple TV, and of course, our flagship Big Torch 50,000 watt news radio WHAM 1180. That is AM terrestrial radio, the OG of the Shannon Joy Show, where I began many, many years ago. Great to see all of you today. We have a lot to get to today. I'm going to bring into the Joy Virtual Studio a longtime friend of the Shannon Joy Show and a guy that is raising his profile and stature. He's medical doctor Clayton Baker back in the dark days of 2020 here in New York State, where it was the worst in terms of forced masking and lockdowns, the enforcement of lockdowns, the length of the lockdowns, the intrusions, the quarantine orders, the just, fascist techniques that were deployed here in New York State, the closures of the schools. It was pretty bad. And there was one medical doctor that stood up with us when we were protesting. We were standing up and speaking out. He put his neck out there. He wrote an open letter and just in that capacity joined the medical freedom movement. He is now, obviously, he's a practicing physician here in New York State. One of the reasons I like to bring him in here because he is seeing patients, but he's also a regular contributor over at one of our favorite platforms, the Brownstone Institute. Recently, he was on Dr. Drew, and he had a great piece recently. Medicine has been fully militarized, which dropped on Brownstone and was picked up by Real Clear Health. And it is an amazing piece. We're going to be talking today about what is going on. We are still not out of it when it comes to the ramifications of what was done to us in 2020. And this is why on this program, we will never forget. And I know that Dr. Clayton Baker will never forget as well. You can follow him on Twitter. His handle is at CJBakerMD. He is with us today. Dr. Baker, welcome back to the Shannon Joy Show. It's good to see you.
It's great to see you, Shannon. Thanks for having me back.
You've been very busy. You have uploaded to Twitter. You're engaging. You are writing for Brownstone, getting picked up, as I mentioned, by big platforms like Real Clear Health and also Dr. Drew. What are you thinking? I mean, you were with us in the dark days of 2020. Here we are, 3 years out, going into a 2024 election cycle with two leading candidates from both political parties who will not talk about what was done to us in 2024. In terms of what you've witnessed and what you've seen and how you've advocated over the past 3 years, what are your thoughts on the state of the medical freedom movement today and in American health?
Wow, that's a big question. If you want to
Yeah.
start with the medical freedom movement, which I've written quite a lot about, as you know, and been kind of active in, I think that there are some positive developments that I think we want to always want to start positive because you don't want to get too discouraged about what's going on. I think first of all, I know that Mary Telly Bowden and her people have Kat Lindley and Molly Rutherford and Molly James, and that their organization have gotten over 100 politicians and political candidates to pledge that they will try to get rid of the mRNA vaccines, COVID vaccines.
Excellent.
And what I think is really tremendously encouraging about that is that means that at least in certain places, that's becoming a political stance that's people think is tenable, maybe a winning stance.
Right.
And, you know, certainly 3 years ago, that would have been a loser across the board. So I think that that's a huge positive development. Now, how it plays out, we'll have to wait and see. But I think that's a tremendous, tremendously positive development. I think also the thing that is very, very positive is, and you know, how much of it is just the chamber in which we work, but I see a tremendous amount of pushback against the WHO new so-called accords that they're trying to push through worldwide, not just in the United States. And I think that that's tremendously positive. I think that the cat's out of the bag. I think that everybody knows, say, if you're Peter Hotez, you know that we're on to you now. You know, before you could say, oh, it's Jenny McCarthy and a few crazy people, but now you know everybody knows and everybody smells a rat, even if they won't admit it, even if they'll vehemently defend them for whatever reason. They know that there's a problem. People know there's a problem, and that's a positive thing.
It is a positive thing, and we're seeing, I mean, Europe is on fire right now. I mean, we are now going into week four of massive rolling protests from Spain to France to Belgium to, I mean, it's throughout Europe. They're shutting down Paris. They're shutting down the farmers and the truckers. I mean, this is all wrapped into the extension of COVID-19 lockdowns and the emergence of this this global state. And they're raging against that. And that's great. And to your point about Peter Hotez, I have a short clip here that I wanted to play for you. We're going to get into your piece. We're going to go in detail in your very important piece. He just dropped this. Medicine has become fully militarized. It is the medical industrial complex. And you will understand that term by the end of this program based on the very hard work that Dr. Clayton Baker has done. But before we get to that, to your point about the American people and people across the globe are waking up, it is safe to question vaccines, to question their safety and efficacy. It is safer for doctors to stand up and speak out. It is safer for politicians to stand up and speak out and touch this issue. And this is making them very, very frightened and concerned. Here is a clip that came down from Peter Hotez, who is a monster. He is one of the major players here in the United States of America that advocated and behind the scenes pushed the lockdowns, the masking, the social distancing, but most tragically, the rollout of the toxic vaccines. Here's what he had to say about what you just mentioned, Dr. Baker.
Well, I think it could get worse before it gets better, first of all, and two fronts. One, you know, I had the opportunity to meet with Dr. Tedros, the World Health Director General of the World Health Organization, towards the end of last year, and to say this could be the warm-up act in the sense that now it's globalizing. I'm anticipating spillover to all childhood immunization rates. And, you know, you're starting to see the same U.S. style of anti-vaccine rhetoric now, you know, even in low and middle income countries on the African continent and South Asia. So I worry about, you know, measles and polio, both in the U.S. and globally. I think I'm worried about that. The other is, you know, a lot of this is heating up, I think, because of the 2024 presidential election. I think one was that with our mutual friend and colleague Anthony Fauci, now that he's out of government, he's not as visible as he was. I think the extremists are looking around for another. They need a monster, right, to galvanize the base. And I think I've become that monster. You know, that's one thing I'm worried about. But also, it was, I talk to probably someone you've seen on Twitter, and I've gotten to know her somewhat. I'm very impressed with her, Molly Jongfast, who's a commentator on CNN and MSNBC. And she, you know, put out there, and she told me privately and put it out in public that, you know, one of the reasons why things are so vicious around RFK Jr. is they see him as a third party candidate that could take Biden votes away and help create a path for Trump being elected. So by, you know, by having me debate him, it kind of elevated, and in its own way, elevated his stature and made him seem like a more serious person.
Right.
And my refusal, you know, popped their bubble. And that's one of the reasons why they're so angry. So this is very much tied, I think, to the 2024 presidential election. And that's what you're having seen with the House subcommittee hearings too, portraying scientists as enemies of the state. It's all for, I mean, I don't know if you've seen this, that House subcommittee Twitter site. It actually says something like, "We're selling popcorn." You know, they're not even pretending it's anything other than political theater for Fox News soundbites. So
thanks for listening to the Shannon Joy Show. We'll be right back. As you all know, the Joy family is super sporty. We all play volleyball. The kids are playing beach volleyball in the summer, high school volleyball in the fall. And right now we are traveling across the country almost every weekend, different city every weekend, playing club volleyball. And the kids need good nutrition. Very difficult to be healthy on the road. Sometimes they're playing, you know, up to 5 games a day, 10 games in a weekend. And they need the vitamins and minerals. They need the nutrition. And I'm so thrilled to partner up with Field of Greens so that they can get all of the vitamins and the nutrients and the nutrition that they need to supplement their regular diet and keep them full of energy and healthy on the court. Also, healing after these long tournaments is really important. And the product line over at Field of Greens is fantastic. It is an easy way to make sure that your family is getting the nutrients that they need, all natural, every single day. Go to fieldofgreens.com. That's fieldofgreens.com. And plug in the promo code Shannon. You can check out their whole lineup of products. And if you put in that promo code Shannon, you'll get 15% off your order. So we're super excited to partner up with them and looking forward to a super healthy 2023. Political theater for Fox News soundbites when Fox News won't even touch the issue of vaccine injury and death. It is incredibly difficult to even see them talk about. That's Peter Hotez. He is a monster, okay? He says they need a monster because what he's identifying is very concerned about the growing vaccine hesitancy. This is because people are dropping dead from the COVID-19 vaccines, and we have all the data out there that we're going to go through. But, you know, that was a big statement that he made. What are your thoughts on Hotez and Fauci? I mean, they have bankrolled, okay? These guys are rolling in it. Fauci adding, you know, $5 million to his net wealth between 2020 and 2023. What are your thoughts on that video?
Well, listening to him speak there's two things that stand out in my mind. And largely, they're, to some extent, independent of the content. There's really not a lot of content there. You know, there really isn't a lot of content. He basically says CNN, MSNBC good, Fox News bad. He says Trump bad, JFK may help Trump, therefore JFK bad. There's really not much real meaning or content there. It's all fairly moronic, just general commentary that a low information person could say exactly the same thing. So there's very little meaningful content. What there is two things that I see. One is classic psychological projection. You know, you call somebody else, they're calling me a monster. Okay, well, I don't know who's called him a monster lately. He's putting that label on himself so he can say they're calling me a monster, that kind of thing. And frankly, until he came up with this, I really hadn't seen Hotez in prominently for months. So I almost wonder if he's floating this to get himself back into, you know, the mainstream. So, which again is projection, you know, in a way, he's basically lost viewers. And so he gets back on doing this. And of course,
classic victim casting.
Poor exactly.
Me, poor baby. Everybody's calling me a monster.
Exactly.
I did call him a monster. I think that he is. But to your point, I never talk about him, right? It's only him going out
when
there.
When was the last time, you know? And now he's reframing the whole thing where he basically was too cowardly to speak to Bobby Jr. because he knew he'd get absolutely humiliated. And right. So what does he do? He spins that around. It's really just some kind of spin job. Mm-hmm. The other fellow looks like a bobblehead. I mean, I don't know who that guy is, but he says absolutely nothing of any content whatsoever. He's just a yes man to say, oh, I mean, he's literally going like this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's no back and forth. There's no serious consideration as to what's going on. I think it's interesting. And this is something that I would be interesting to hear their answer, because they're saying how we're going to have, you know, all these measles outbreaks and we're going to have polio outbreaks and so on. Whereas, you know, I thought these vaccines worked and I thought these vaccines provided us with herd immunity. So if a few people are 6 months late on their shots, why are we suddenly going to have these massive outbreaks? That doesn't make sense to me. And it'd be interesting to see. I've not seen anyone say, well, if we dropped our, I'm sure they could come up with a model, but probably false, probably inaccurate, but I haven't even seen anybody prominently put forth a model saying if 50% of children or whatever percentage of children didn't get their measles vaccine for the next 2 years, how many cases of measles would we predict? There's nothing even that rational going on. It's like, oh, measles will be everywhere. Oh, polio's coming back. And now, wait a minute, just about every kid in the country is fully vaccinated for polio and measles because they can't go to school if they're not. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the question becomes, you know, the whole thing to me just is so intellectually dishonest.
Yeah.
That if you have a BS detector that's functional, you can see that this guy's just, you know, he's just spouting.
Well, they're spinning. Spouting. And what stands out to me is that you can tell that they are concerned, I think, number one, about the low uptake of the COVID-19 vaccine booster, which is hovering around 10%, give or take. I mean, I've seen it as little as 8%, as high as 15 to 17% of the American people who have actually taken the COVID-19 you know, most recent booster. And, you know, the levels of uptake for RSV, the levels of uptake even for the flu vaccine, everything is down across the board. And so I think in that respect, you're seeing, you know, maybe a little bit of panic. I hope a little bit of panic with the realization that people aren't buying the propaganda anymore, the fear working anymore. And so now they have to go into phase two. You mentioned disease X in your piece. Medicine has been fully militarized. The outbreaks of a new measles, the reemergence of what they'll say were diseases that had been eradicated because of vaccines. And I think we just need to be prepared for that, because they're going to definitely lay this at the feet of what they term anti-vaxxers. And this is why they're so hostile to people like Robert Kennedy Jr., who is going to be, in my opinion, a very important player in the 2024 election cycle for the only one reason. It would be because of this issue, like forcing, they're forced to talk about this now, which is only because Bobby Kennedy is in the fray.
Exactly.
And that's it. That's it. So this is, you know, 2024. He is right in the sense that 2024 is going to shape up to be a very, very interesting year. But we are going to, let's go to break really quickly. When we come back, I want to talk about COVID-19 vaccine injury and death. And then your article, Clayton, new numbers coming out from Ed Dowd, you know, the statistics about all-cause mortality and long-term disability and short-term disability. We're seeing that across Western countries. We have the V-safe data, the information that Aaron Seary over at ICANN was able to compile. A judge forced them to release, CDC to release the V-safe data. It's devastating. It's devastating. And then we have anecdotals, Dr. Baker. And this is one of the reasons I wanted to have you in today, because you are practicing, you are seeing patients. And I don't know if it's just me, you know, in terms of are people dying from COVID-19 vaccines, are they being severely injured? And you have the mainstream media, people like Peter Hotez saying nothing to see here, nothing at all. They're perfectly safe and effective. And then you have people on our side who are saying, this is a disaster. Like, look at these numbers, look at this data. And for regular people, it's very difficult to try and get the truth. For me, what I look at, I look at the clinical, right? When you look at the papers and the studies showing what happens to bodies, the autopsy reports from people who died post-COVID-19 vaccines, and you look at the mechanism of the lipid nanoparticles and the spike proteins and what the mRNA does inside a human body. So you have the clinical aspect. We know that this happens. You then have the statistical aspect. This is what Ed Dowd and people who are gathering all-cause mortality data, right? You have what media is pushing out to you. But you also have the anecdotal. And unless the anecdotal is there, I'm always going to take everything with a grain of salt. But if you have all three, for me, that means that this is something that is real. This is something that is happening. In the past week, I have seen, and you know, firsthand accounts of really bizarre deaths and injuries right here in my own hometown. And I want to share that with you and just see what you're thinking in terms of the clinical, the statistical, the anecdotal, and how we can come to some kind of clarity about what is really happening in this country, because something clearly is in my opinion. So I'd like to hear from you on that. And then we're going to go right into your very, very important piece at Brownstone. Medicine has become fully militarized. It is the medical industrial complex. It is dangerous to humans. And we're going to discuss that in a moment. Make sure you follow Dr. Clayton Baker, CJ Baker MD. That's CJ Baker MD on Twitter, so that you get access to everything that he is working on. We'll be back in a moment right here on the Shannon Joy Show. Thanks for listening to the Shannon Joy Show. We'll be right back. Hey guys, I am so psyched to be working with the folks over at Colonial Metals Group. You guys know that I am all about personal empowerment, never living in fear or waiting for some politician to save you. Being at the whim of the stock market or the current administration does not make me feel safe or secure, but having a self-directed IRA where I can safely store physical gold and silver, assets that have stood the test of time, makes a lot of sense to me. Let the team of experts at CMG help you protect your family's future. Maybe you're just getting started. Maybe you're already in a 401k or an IRA, or maybe you're thinking about your parents' retirement. Regardless of your situation, Colonial Metals Group can help. We put together a special offer for this audience. Click on the link in the description below or call 888-705-0950. That's 888-705-0950, and you'll be eligible to receive a free safe and up to $10,000 in free silver. Don't sit around waiting for a politician to save you. Save yourself, protect your wealth, and call Colonial Metals Group today.
Hi, my name is Quinn Pittman. I grew up here in these Florida woods. I like to hunt and fish on our land in Ostend, Florida. When I was 7, I asked my parents if I could have a couple of milk goats so I can make cheese. I am 14 now and I have a small goat herd. My dad built this barn to keep my goats safe from the bobcats and coyotes that sometimes roam our land. I milk them every day before school. I love spending time with my goats. I make ice cream and milk for some of my friends that are allergic to cow's milk, because every kid should be able to eat ice cream. I also make goat milk soap. It is better for your skin, it won't dry out, and it lasts a long time. I make it on my back porch with my mom. If you would like to try my soap, you can order it at qpgoatsoap.com. Place an order and we will make sure that you have fragrant, freshly cured goat milk soap in your home, just like we have in ours.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Shannon Joy Show. Today, we're joined by Dr. Clayton Baker, CJ Baker, MD on Twitter, CJ Baker, MD on Twitter. Dr. Baker, this week, personal conversations that I have had with my children, friends, family, colleagues, just seems for whatever reason, there is just an uptick in sudden death. And I know that's a cliche term, but I can tell you this week, I've had personal anecdotals, a young girl, 15 years old, collapsing while working out. She is now in a medically induced coma. And I believe that there is a diagnosis of myocarditis in that. Just yesterday, a man collapsed at my son's volleyball practice. They had to resuscitate him. I believe that he was airlifted out of that facility. A healthy 62-year-old man that I know personally had a minor infection in one of his limbs and developed blood clots and just dropped dead suddenly. Two maternal deaths on a maternity ward right here in Rochester, New York. Women dying in childbirth now, which is something I never thought we would see in the 21st century. 5 stillbirths in one hospital on one unit. So these are all conversations that I have had with people that I know personally that know that, and some of the people who have tragically been impacted, I have known personally. And so when I look at that anecdotal, this is very unusual, Clayton. This is not something that I see in a normal week. And you have the Ed Dowd stats, and we have the VSafe data, and we have the VAERS data, but we have these two radically different narratives. Like, one is nothing to see here. Nothing is happening. And the other is, this is a crisis of epic proportion. How do you grapple with this? And how do you find, as a physician who's seeing patients, truth when we are faced with all of these numbers and these stories?
Right. Well, the first thing I would say is at the end of the last segment, I think you did a spectacular job. I don't want to butter you up, but you did a spectacular job explaining how a rational person comes to a realization about the truth or falsehood of these kind of claims. The first is, you want to have hard and fast data from a gold standard that tells you that something very bad is going on. And of course, you know, we've got that in the Hulsher and et al. Autopsy study with 28 deaths related proximally to the COVID vaccine with a mechanism of death via myocarditis and heart disease explained. Now means that's as good as it gets. The gold standard for causality of disease and of course cause of death is autopsy. Yeah. So, you know, to me, that's ironclad. The second thing that you've got, and this is really important, and this is something that's a little subtle, but I'm sure your listeners understand it or can understand it, is that we're always told that the only way to get really good data is through a randomized, double-blind, controlled study, okay? And the truth is that that's false. Mm. The truth is, for some things, that is the best way to do things. But for other things, it's not. To demonstrate trends independent of clearly demonstrating causality, oftentimes retrospective stuff is much better. And now that takes me over to Ed Dowd's work and people that are doing similar work to him. Right. If you have, I saw recently a piece that he put out where you have a 22% increase in childhood mortality in 2021 and 22 in Great Britain, when there was a 15% reduction in childhood mortality in Great Britain during 2020. What does that mean? Right. You can't say 100% for sure, but you can say, and he opined that this was the likely cause, was what typically kills young children. I think the age was up to 14. What typically kills young children is accidents.
Right.
Car accidents, getting hit by a car, drowning, etc.
Right. Right.
If you're locked up in your home, you're going to have fewer fatal accidents. However, once you're let out, it presumably would revert to normal, but it didn't revert to normal. It increased to 22% increased mortality. And that coincided temporally, just about perfectly, with the vaccines.
Right, right.
Now, if you make these vaccines, it should be absolutely incumbent upon you to investigate this and to make sure you are not killing people.
Right,
it
right.
It should be incumbent upon the user to fight to keep themselves unvaccinated.
Right.
That's your job. That is very concerning data that you are causing harm at a massive level. And of course, we don't even need to get into the fact that this is with kids whose statistical likelihood of dying from COVID is it's zero. It's statistically zero. So you think anyone who is not a sociopathic
lunatic
would say, wait a minute, we have to make sure we are not doing this. And instead what you get is not just total and complete denial, but an effort to suppress that this even exists.
Right.
And that to me shows bad faith to such an incredible extent that, it's hard to see how someone, unless they're getting paid or unless they're willfully blind, willfully ignorant, that you wouldn't smell a rat here.
Yeah.
Let me just finish the third thing that you said. You said you wanted some population data, which Dowd and others are producing. You want the hard data from the autopsies, which you now have. And now you have all of these anecdotal reports, which are unquestionable. They're unquestionable. There's so many sudden death episodes, so many cardiac arrest episodes in people that should not be having them, that something is going on. And again, it should be absolutely incumbent. If I put a product out there and there was even a chance that this was doing this, I would say, hold the horses. Dear God, I don't want to kill these people. And instead, we get the exact opposite. We get the nothing to see here. These people are crazy. Who are you going to believe, us or your lying eyes? And so it's time for people just to say, look, you have to look with human beings. You have to look at motivation. And the motivation here is it's nothing short of evil.
Yeah. I think there are players. We had Aaron Siri on the show earlier this week, blockbuster show. You guys have got to watch it. Go back, scroll down on my Rumble channel and pull up my show with attorney Aaron Siri. He is with I Can Decide. He was able to get a judge to force the CDC to release the V-safe data. So this was unique to COVID-19 vaccines. It was created just for the early adapters and the first cohorts who took the vaccines, and they reported in real time how they were feeling. These were vaccine enthusiasts. These were vaccine evangelists. These were the people who were lining up to get their vaccines in 2021. And the data is devastating, Dr. Baker. 32% of the respondents had serious adverse reactions, serious enough to either not be able to perform daily tasks normally, not be able to go to work, or seek medical help at a hospital, an ER, or emergency room. 32% responded. And that was just out of a subset of about 10 million, I believe. So this is like the best, cleanest, best data you can possibly get. And it points to very, very, and the myocarditis, the pericarditis, the thrombocytopenia, the blood clot, all of the stuff, all of the things that we're seeing right now popping up over and over, they were all there on that V-safe data. And so, here we are in this really strange spot, culturally and politically, where this insane trauma happened, which was 2020. And we found each other in the medical community, freedom community, fought like hell, okay, on street corners. You were on a street corner. I was on a street corner. We were finding resources and allies across the country. We got the country back open. Now we're getting the data. Now we have the medical doctors. Now it's like it's an avalanche. It's a mountain of truth that you lay out very clearly in your piece, Medicine Has Been Fully Militarized, which we're going to go straight into when we come back. And it's all right there, but we're in this insane, insane moment where both political parties, Republican, Democrat, Biden, Trump, the mainstream media on the left, the mainstream media on the right, Fox News, completely ignoring it. The conservative party and consultants, that are talking to politicians, telling them no one cares about COVID anymore. It's over. No one is worried about the vaccine. No one cares about the vaccine. But then when you have a quiet conversation with a regular human being and you give them, you open the door for them to talk about what happened to them when they took the vaccine or a loved one, it's like a dam bursts. And they're like, this happened, this had, that's why people aren't taking the vaccine. So you have this truth bomb sitting in the middle of the United States of America, understood by you and me in the medical freedom community very clearly, but definitely understood by the normies out there because they're not taking the vaccines.
Right.
And they're not getting, you know, all childhood vaccines, and they're not buying the hype, and they're not buying the, you know, whatever the latest monkey virus and the disease X and the fear, you know, they're just not buying it. Yet we're all kind of playing this game, this emperor has no clothes kind of game where yes. We're just like pretending. Do you find that to be unsettling and bizarre? Because I do. I'm like, what the hell?
I think it is. I think that one of the things that as I said in that piece, I said, COVID's been a very harsh teacher, but we've learned an awful lot from her. Sure. And one of the things that I've learned is just how these things happen. You know, you always heard the cliches about, you know, how would you have loaded people onto the cattle cars kind of thing? And the answer is for a lot of people, the answer is yes. Yeah. And the other thing is the answer is a lot of people would have just got on the cattle cars. You know, one of the things that was really, really useful for me to read was Matthias Desmet's Psychology of Totalitarianism, which is just he's the Belgian psychologist who talked about the group
mass formation psychosis.
Exactly. Yeah. He goes into detail with that. And I don't agree with all of the stuff he has in the book, but I really feel that he's kind of got a good construct for what happened here. A lot of people, it's time tested. We just haven't lived through it to this extent. You know, it's time tested. It's not just Nazi Germany. It's not just the Bolshevik revolution. It goes back through history. It goes back through Florence when Savonarola took over for 3 years and they had this, you know, almost like a jihad state in Florence, Italy for 3 years. This happens from time to time. And people, a percentage of people resist, a percentage of people fall for it hook, line, and sinker, and a percentage of people drive it because it's advantageous for them to do it. And we're still in the throes of that. We're in a later stage, but we're still in the throes of that. And what we have to do, I think, is really speak the truth whenever we can, and speak to people in, you know, as clear a tone as we can. And the piece that I put at the end of the year for the New Year's resolutions, one thing I said was speak the truth about COVID at every opportunity. And one thing I say to them is I say, look, this is a bioweapon. Okay. If you do your homework, you'll know that it started out at Ralph Baric's lab at North Carolina. I mean, I joke now that Michael Jordan is no longer the most famous UNC Tar Heel on earth. The most famous North Carolina Tar Heel on earth is the COVID virus.
Right.
And then it was passed back and forth to various labs, including Wuhan, and it got out. I don't know for a fact whether it got out deliberately or not, but everyone from John Stewart to Rand Paul to your monkey's uncle knows that it got out of the lab. People won't admit it, but they know it. And so what does that mean, Shannon? That means it's a bioweapon.
Yeah.
And what does that mean that the vaccine is? The vaccine's the antidote to the bioweapon.
Right.
That's what it is.
The countermeasure.
It's the countermeasure, right?
In military terms, it's the countermeasure.
It's the countermeasure. And once you accept that, you start saying, well, no wonder the wheels came off. No wonder we became a military state because it was a military operation from the start.
Yeah. And this has been detailed methodically by Jeffrey Tucker and many of the fellows and the contributors over at Brownstone Institute. It's all there. The medical contracts are there. The government contracts are there. The DOD contracts are there. If you go back, Sasha Latapova has done some excellent work on detailing all of that as well. And to your point, Dr. Baker, it sets up this perfect scenario for those who seek to continue this, to sweep this under the rug and erase history and then begin to prepare for the next assault on humanity, because that's coming next. And this is why This is why I go so hard at Trump and Biden. This is why for me, 2020, it's not okay. If it's Trump and Biden and that's the national discussion, they will sweep it under the rug and they will begin to lay the groundwork for the next all-out assault. And I think if we thought 2020 was bad, buckle up, okay? Because it's going to be worse. But it sets up this perfect scenario where you have the bioweapon, which is actually the virus. It is the, or whatever it is. Some people, argue over whether or not it's a virus or not. I don't really care. I don't get into the weeds on that. But, what happened in 2020, there was certainly something there. I knew that that people were pretty sick. It wasn't nearly as bad as they said that it was. But, then you have, when you have that spike protein that is evident in the virus that is spreading and people are passing it, through respiratory means, that when someone gets really sick with myocarditis or pericarditis or blood, whatever, they can say, oh, well, it's from long COVID. It's from COVID, not the COVID vaccine, when really they're one and the same. The vaccine is just like a super weaponized, like shooting it into your capillaries and blood vessels, and then the lipid nanoparticles are carrying the spike all over the body. Like, it's a million times worse than, getting COVID, I think, passing it, through breathing. Mm-hmm. But it does set up this plausible deniability, right? Well, this is just long COVID. We told you it was a deadly virus. We told you, and it makes things murky for people. But yeah, that is gain of function research. It is create the nasty, nasty, nasty virus, and then use that to create the antivirus or the antidote, and rinse and repeat and rinse and repeat. And this is the bio warfare that you talk about in your piece that people really do need to understand if they want to protect themselves, right?
I agree. I think that that's one important point that comes out of what you just said, at least in my mind, is that when you look at what the response is now, when you say, and we touched on this a little bit earlier when we were talking about Peter Hotez, if this was an honest attempt at public health, then people would be saying, let's investigate this openly.
Right.
Let's figure out what it is and what it isn't. If you come in and say, no, it's not that, no, it's not that, no, it's not that, you're being fundamentally intellectually dishonest and you're being fundamentally unethical because you've put this product out there. The assumption has to be that it could be contributing. And instead, the public assumption is it's absolutely 100% safe and nothing's 100% safe at all. Water's not 100% safe. You can, we're 70% water and we can die drowning in water. So, this notion is so fundamentally dishonest. And I wish people would take that to heart too. Just realize that when someone's attitude is, it's not this, it's not this, 1,000 times it's not this, that's fundamentally questionable. That's fundamentally intellectually dishonest. And you should not trust someone who's being manifestly intellectually dishonest, particularly if they can make a fortune doing it. And that's exactly what we're up against.
And especially someone who will not debate. That's where if you're confident, and this is Hotez won't debate, Fauci won't debate, Trump won't debate, Biden won't debate, no one will debate. They just want to shut it down. Mm-hmm. They just want to shut it down. And that's the clue. And that's also, the deficiency right now, tragically, and I hope this doesn't persist, of the medical freedom community, is that I think the medical freedom movement is very science heavy. It's very data heavy. It's made up in many ways of intellectuals, which is great. We have all that great stuff. But in some ways, we need street fighters. I mean, we need people to go out, because this really is a political, and a cultural problem, right? You can have all the data in the world, but if it's all suppressed by those who control the flow of information in the country, it doesn't matter how much truth you have, it'll never get out. So we have to get out there and we have to force the truth out. And this is certainly, certainly where I think Bobby Kennedy is going to come in, at least in 2024, fingers crossed. When we come back, we're going to talk to Dr. Clayton Baker about his piece. I want to get into the details. It's a very, very good piece, dropped on Brownstone Institute and has been picked up by Real Clear Health. You can find it by following him at CJ Baker MD on Twitter. That is at CJ Baker MD. Medicine has been fully militarized is the title. And he details the medical industrial complex in a very eloquent way. It is, 3 pages printed out, and it is a must read. This is nowhere near over. And right now we're losing. We're losing because we have lost the battle of, you know, the discourse in the public arena, first with Ron DeSantis. And now I'm very concerned that MAGA and, you know, the Trump team are going to fall. And they'll be backed by Biden, by the way, right? Trump, Biden, mainstream news media, all of the power structures all have an interest in pushing out Bobby Kennedy Jr. Now that Ron DeSantis is out of the way, I am very concerned. I knew this was going to happen, but just expect and just know that everything, if you're you know, thinking about Mordor and Lord of the Rings, the eye now is going to be turned on Bobby Kennedy Jr. God help us all. But this is what's coming. And within the medical freedom community, we have got to be prepared for this. This is knockdown, drag out, barefisted fighting. This is on the ground guerrilla warfare, rhetorically speaking, and we need to be prepared for that. So we're going to talk about that and the severity of what we're up against with that military industrial complex with Dr. Clayton Baker in a moment when we come back on the Shannon Joy Show.
New details tonight on the 1963 assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. The alleged assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald, was involved in a CIA operation 3 months before the assassination.
This project was said to be a covert CIA operation that was developing a top-secret vaccine and or a biological weapon.
What they're doing is they're trying to kill Castro.
I'm just a patsy.
In 1963, the world was a powder keg ready to explode. With the CIA holding a match to fuses on every continent. From Vietnam to Cuba, clandestine operations were being waged to preserve a fascist New World Order, which emerged from the ashes of the Third Reich. Assassination teams within the CIA had their eyes on two sitting heads of state. Fidel, a few years earlier, had survived an agency-led coup d'etat. The other head of state, President John F. Kennedy, had scuttled that attempted overthrow and pledged to dismantle the agency, which was already planning his demise. U.S. soil was no longer sacred nor safe from the murderous reach of the CIA, which now reached ambitiously into the heartland of America and into the bayous of New Orleans.
Not me, however, I'm a communist.
A young girl found herself caught up in a clandestine covert operation to eliminate Fidel Castro. This wouldn't be a shot heard around the world, but rather a silent shot of super cancer-causing poison derived from a monkey simian virus called SV40. A team of fascists hell-bent on defeating communism, directed by the CIA, was formed in New Orleans. This den of vipers included the head of the National Cancer Society, the FBI's former head agent in mafia-controlled Chicago, and a paramilitary instructor who would bring in a double agent named Lee Harvey Oswald. This tale has everything from murder, espionage, a tragic love story to bioweapons and the genesis of gain-of-function research. At the end of this, we'll have one dead doctor, multiple dead agents, and a dead president. I'm Shannon Joy. Stay tuned as I take you through the full story. Welcome back, everyone, to the Shannon Joy Show. The full story is accessible here on the Shannon Joy Show page on Rumble, up towards 200,000 views on that documentary that we released over the summer. It's a doozy. Just if you want to search Shannon Joy Killshot or just scroll down, you can find that very quickly. And I wanted to give a quick shout out before we get back to Dr. Clayton Baker, our good friends over at Shell Shock CBD. The owner of Shell Shock CBD, by the way, is our good friend John Burke. He is the American Savage on Rumble, a very popular and growing show. He is a conservative, libertarian, freedom-loving kind of guy, but very honest, very genuine. That's what I'm looking for in truth tellers in terms of people I work with as advertisers and also colleagues. And he's amazing. Yesterday, he was deplatformed on Twitter for some crazy reason. I have no idea why, but it was all very scandalous. Today, he was reinstated because a lot of us perked up and started squawking at Elon to give him his account back. But he is one of those truth tellers out there. And I love supporting people who are out there telling the truth. His company is Shell Shock CBD, and they are sponsors of the Shannon Joy Show. I love their products. I use the Rackout Sleep Aid. This is an amazing product. It is CBD, non-THC, so it does not get you high. And of course, and it has melatonin in it. And I sleep like a baby with the Rackout. It's non-habit forming, never groggy in the morning, and one of their absolute best sellers. So if all of this stuff is stressing you out and from time to time you have a hard time going to sleep, this is a sleep aid that I absolutely swear by. You can get 10% off if you go to shellshockcbd.com. Put in that promo code ShannonJoy for 10% off. And of course, there is always a money back, 100% money back guarantee. So thank you to our friends over at Shell Shock CBD. Let's bring Dr. Clayton Baker back into the Joy Virtual Studio to continue the program. An absolutely phenomenal piece that you wrote for Brownstone Institute, picked up by Real Clear Politics. And I appreciated this, Dr. Baker. Title is Medicine Has Been Fully Militarized. You just lay it right down. I mean, truth bomb. It is the military-industrial complex. It is a coming together of massive corporations with government agencies, both political parties, the apparatus of the federal government, the Department of Defense, and they're all getting filthy rich and powerful and more filthy rich and more powerful over and over, rinse and repeat, at the detriment of humanity. And there's much more at play here than just, you know, masking or 2 weeks to slow the spread or the rollout of the vaccine, which is tragic enough. And you explain that in detail in this piece. People need to be concerned about this. This is the number one issue facing the United States of America. This is a life and death issue for Americans. And the fact that people don't get this kills me. But Dr. Baker, can you walk us through your piece and just the sentiment behind it and what you've discovered through the past couple of years about this apparatus that is posing a very, very real threat to humanity as we speak today?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. The first thing I would say is just to repeat what you said in slightly different words. COVID was the biggest worldwide event since World War II. There's no question about it. And the notion that we would go into, as you stated very clearly earlier, that we would go into a presidential election with two candidates, both of whom were deeply involved in all of the terrible things that happened during COVID. And the approach of both sides is to say nothing is completely unacceptable. It's almost, as you said, it's mind-boggling that that's the approach. You can see why they would want to. Neither of them want to have to address these things, but all of us should be absolutely clamoring for explanations. We should be clamoring for accountability. And of course, we're getting not even getting denial, we're getting silence. And so that's deeply, deeply troubling. And what it does suggest is that this is going to be, as you said, a lather, rinse, repeat kind of thing. The article itself really kind of starts by saying, you know, that I'm thinking of a certain industry and see if you can guess what it is. And I go through and describe certain elements of this mega industry. And for all intents and purposes, it sounds like the military. But if you apply those same things to the medical industry in the United States, they all apply. The reason for that is because they are essentially so interconnected with each other that they now operate in somewhat very much the same way, and they influence each other tremendously. And as Eisenhower warned us about the military-industrial complex in 61, I guess it was, when he left office, you know, he said we have to guard ourselves from this military-industrial complex because it's going to influence us and drive us towards wars, toward expensive spending, and so on. It's become exactly the same thing for medicine. And if you realize this, then essentially, if you substitute Pfizer and Moderna for, as I said, Lockheed Martin and Raytheon, and you substitute the CDC for the Pentagon, you get the same thing. Yeah. But it's almost redundant because the CDC and the NIH are so closely tied to the Department of Defense anyway.
Right.
You know, as I said later, they're not twins. They're not identical twins. They're conjoined twins. You know, they're Siamese twins, to use the old phrase. They're part of the same organism. And, you know, you really have to think about it in those terms. And it's easy for us to conceptualize after all of these endless wars to see how, you know, Halliburton and these other companies are driving us into the Middle East time and time again. But it's really not different at all. It's a variation on the same theme, what's going on with medicine. And that's what COVID just laid absolutely bare for anyone who's got the eyes to see it and anyone who's got the ears to hear about it. I think that what we have to realize is that even though individual people are, and this was another point that I made, and I'm just sort of paraphrasing, but even though individual people are waking up, you know, the uptake on these umpteenth boosters are very, very low.
Sure.
That said, the government agencies, the NIH and the CDC, are completely in lockstep with just what they were in 2021. They haven't changed a bit.
They just passed a massive defense spending bill.
Mm-hmm.
All the king's horses and all the king's men. I mean, exactly the same as it has ever been. Like, there's nothing. It's like it just operates regardless of what is happening in the culture at large or in the state at large. It's very unsettling.
It's very unsettling. And what you have to realize is that you'll get swallowed up in this. And, you know, it's easy for someone in our age group. I'll speak for you right now. You can tell me not to if I say something wrong. But it's easy for someone in my age group who really was blessed. You know, I was too young to go to Vietnam. By the time I had to go down to the post office and register for the draft, there was no draft. You know, so I wasn't going to get hauled off to a rice paddy somewhere to get shot like people who were 20 years older than me. Mm. You know, I had a good life. I've had opportunity. The economy's been up and down, but generally it's been good, et cetera, et cetera. There's wars, but they're not domestic wars and so on. And you get very complacent in those types of settings. And I think most of the people who are of the younger ages are very complacent. They don't see this as even a possibility that something this nefarious is going on, because they've all got plenty to eat. And they've all got a nice place with an Xbox and a cell phone and the bills lost. That's the big thing they're worried about around here.
Right, right.
You know, that's really what we're up against to some extent, but we have to really make it clear to people that this is not tinfoil stuff. This is really what's going on.
Well, and across the globe, people are waking up. It's very evident in Europe that the degradation of human life and existence has gone down to such a level that they are so desperate in Denmark and Belgium and Germany and France and Italy and Spain that they are pouring out by the hundreds of thousands, the millions across Europe for week four of a massive, massive rolling protest, burning government buildings, dumping manure on government buildings, shutting down, lines of transport and highways. And this is not showing like that it's abating at all. So right here in the U.S., we are anesthetized. I think that the United States might be one of the most propagandized countries in the world. I think the American people, to your point, from the 1960s on until today, have probably endured some of the heaviest, most sophisticated propaganda that I've ever witnessed. And we're talking about social media, by the way, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, they were all created by the CIA. These were all government DOD programs that created these social media entities that we use today, unfortunately, right? I mean, you can't make this stuff up. But so the messaging and the players are so layered. It's so difficult to tease out the truth from all of this. And to your point, you know, throughout history, people started having wars and they used, you know, slings and arrows and chariots. And then they used muskets and guns and cannons. And then we used, airplanes and we dropped bombs. And then you have nuclear warfare. Like, warfare changes for every century. It's never the same. It's never static, right?
Right.
And so the way that I see the you know, what's shaping out right now, we indeed are at war. We just don't really know who our enemies are yet. It's hard to define them because they are shrouded in secrecy. It's opaque, but you can see their weaponry. It's bio warfare, psychological warfare, information warfare. I mean, this is the battleground. What you and I are engaging in, and what those of you who are watching today and engaging in these arenas, that, you know, this is where the battle is being fought, and it is for the narrative and the messaging. And yeah, in terms of the bio warfare, there are casualties. There are body counts in the same way there are body counts after World War II. I mean, what happened in the nursing homes? What happened on the COVID floors? What happened to people who got very, very toxic batches of the COVID-19 vaccines, the vaccine injury and death? Hundreds, hundreds of millions likely, right?
But yeah, I mean, it's the number. I don't have a good count on the numbers, but it's a very large number, and it's getting larger all the time. And I think that it is an amazing, you know, I'm not a psychologist, but I'm a, you know, I'm a physician who counsels patients. So I'm kind of a quasi amateur psychologist a lot of the time. And one thing that fascinates me is the psychology behind this, how you could be, where is, and maybe this is something to ask sort of an average Joe on the street, where is your head space right now that you don't want any more boosters, but you don't really think there's anything that wrong going on? You know what I mean? You know, I know that they're toxic. I believe at some level that people are dropping dead. There's just too much anecdotal evidence, and there's too many people raising a stink for that not to be the case. But, you know, the Bills are playing this weekend. Well, they're not, but you know what I'm saying. And I think that, you know, takes us back to the psychological side of it. And how do you win this psychological warfare? And that's really hard to know. You know, Desmet says you just keep hammering the message. You keep putting the truth out there. You keep speaking the truth. And I think that, yeah. And I think that that's one thing that you do. But I think that at some point, and I really believe this, and I think this is part of the reason why the people in charge are absolutely unwilling to address this at any level whatsoever, is because I think people want, at some level, if they saw some accountability, if Anthony Fauci got let off in an orange jumpsuit, things would change. Things would change in a big way, because someone has been found out to be a bad guy. And that means, who else are the bad guys?
Right.
You know, I don't think we would just get one or two scapegoats and that would be it. I think that the floodgates might open in that situation. And that's part of the reason, to my mind, I think, why they are absolutely so unwilling to even address these questions. They don't even want to say it's not me, it was him. They want to say it was nobody. It just happened.
It didn't happen.
Right. It didn't happen, or it just happened and no one could have done anything about it.
Right. The emperor has no clothes. He's buck naked. He is parading down the street and everyone knows it, right? But it's this collective insanity that is still gripping this country. And I think, to your point, you know, you can't have these discussions without looking at the psychology of this, or the spiritual realm of this, right? However you want to look at it.
Well, we haven't talked about that, but that's a really important one too. That's really important.
Well, I think there's cognitive dissonance. I've talked to normies who absolutely sense that something is really wrong. And they will say to me, I don't believe anything. I don't watch the news anymore. I don't believe anything. They know that something is dark. They know that something is wrong, but they can't put their finger on it. Number one, because they don't have access to information, like the information that we put out on a daily basis. They're mired in conservative, or they're mired in mainstream media. But I think also because to acknowledge what happened, to acknowledge what they may have injected into their own bodies or into the bodies of their children, to acknowledge what may have happened to their loved ones during COVID-19, and to realize that it was all for nothing, I think is so psychologically devastating that it would break them. I think that people would break if they knew. I mean, we have slowly become acclimated to this because our radar was up and then we never really bought in. But I think people that did, it's very difficult for them to come out and acknowledge this. And they might not ever. But I think the wins here, to your point, it's if Anthony was let out in a jumpsuit, that would be an opportunity. That would be an invitation for people to say what they think down here. Right? Exactly. They're afraid to say, they're afraid to discuss. And I think this is why I'm very glad that Ron DeSantis is back in Florida and governing, because the work that Dr. Joe Latipo is doing, the grand jury investigation, the methodical case that they're building right now, could have the impact of Florida being the first state to pull the vaccines, COVID-19 vaccines, from the market. Right. And not have them. That would be the equivalent, I think, of a Fauci being perp walked in an orange jumpsuit. And I think that people have to be ready for, in our side, and prepared for the wins and the victories coming in discernible policy outcome and victories like that in Florida, and not necessarily the ones you really like Anthony Fauci being shamed, handcuffed, thrown in prison for the rest of his life. I think that some of these bad guys are so insulated and surrounded by other bad guys that the best that we can do is just change everything underneath. And remember, and the way that I make myself feel better about that is remembering scripture and that, you know, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. These guys who do these things and know what they're doing, God knows their hearts, God knows the truth, and I guarantee you they will be tormented, if not for the rest of their life, even into the afterlife. And that's my piece there. That doesn't mean that you don't go for justice as much as you can and try to get these guys if you can. But I think that we are up against a Leviathan. And what we really need, though, is for the ground to shake underneath them in the pulling of these vaccines and then the lawsuits and then the changing in infrastructure and the dismantling of some of these government agencies, hopefully, because the people want it, not because we have a white knight riding in and saving all of us. Does any of that make sense to you? Or do you think that
it does? And I think that, you know, the other point that you make indirectly in what you just said that I think is really important is that, you know, you take the victories where you can get them, and they're likely going to come from somewhere other than Washington, because yeah. Washington really is the swamp and Washington really is the center of these things. Yeah. So things really need to be turned completely on their head to really see effective change in Washington. But you might be able to see it more at the state level. I'm very interested to see how things are going to shake out in Texas right now that they are, you know, basically closing the border at a state level. And, you know, there was the threat that the feds were going to come in and move them out. But that, blessedly, that hasn't happened yet. And I think the interesting thing about that, to my mind, and I'm not a historian, but I know a little bit about the Civil War. And I know that essentially the shot that started the Civil War, we all know, was Fort Sumter. But essentially, you know, in a very real way, Lincoln baited Jefferson Davis into firing on Fort Sumter, giving him a pretext to start a hot war. And if you look at the situation in Texas, Biden's in exactly the opposite position Lincoln is in. He's in the position of weakness. He has to fire the shots. He's not playing defense. He's playing offense. He has to shoot at his own people. And so there's a very, very, very strong, I hope he doesn't, I hope, but you know, it would be disastrous for him were he to do so. So he's at such a, as I see it, and I may be wrong, but if it's at face value, I can't help but see he's at a tremendous strategic disadvantage here. Mm. And this is what the states have to do. And it's not going to happen for a while in our state, but it may happen in other states like Florida, hopefully like Texas and others, where they're just going to say, we're not playing anymore and you can't stop us. So maybe you don't secede from the country, but what you do is you just don't play. You just don't do certain things that the feds tell you to do. You just say no.
Right.
And, you know, that's what we tell that's what we tell ourselves to do. That's what we tell our listeners to do. And that's what maybe the states have to do. They have to just say no. We will
learn
not
how
comply.
To say no. Right.
We will not comply.
Yeah. And, you know, I think what's the most interesting about all of that, Dr. Clayton Baker, is that, you know, Greg Abbott never wanted to do this. You know, these Republican governors never wanted to do this. They don't want this fight. They were perfectly content with, you know, planes, trains, and automobiles shipping illegal immigrants into the interior of the country. But it's the people underneath. And that's where you really see grassroots movements, state organization, people like Mary Talley Bowden, mm-hmm. who gone up against the GOP in Texas. In fact, Texas, a very red state, was one of the worst lockdown states, one of the worst in terms of COVID fascism. And so it's the pressure that mm-hmm. is put on. And so then when DeSantis comes out, makes a statement, supports Greg Abbott, then, you know, everyone, all the Republicans in Ohio go to DeWine and are like, why can't you say that? And then all the Republicans in other red states go, well, why can't our governor say that? Mm-hmm. And then they place pressure. And so this is the body politic. This is our system of government in action, checks and balances. But really at the bottom of it is the people, we the people embracing those civics and doing what we can do from the, you know, our own corner of the world to change these things. But I do think we're going to go to break real quick and then we're going to finish this up. We're going to close it out. But what's very important about your piece, I think this is the missing piece in analysis from, you know, 90% of people who are commenting on culture and politics today. If you do not look at COVID-19 in 2020 and beyond and what we're dealing with today as a war situation, if you do not acknowledge that we are at war, this is a war in every sense of the word. There are the aggressors, there are those who are defending liberty, there are the weapons, there are the tactics, the techniques, the deployments, the campaigns. It's all happening. It's very different. When we write the history books in 10 years, it will be obvious to everyone that this was a war. And that's why I think this piece is very, very important, Clayton, because you understand that. When we come back, I just kind of want to expand on that just a little bit. What is the nature of this war? What do you see from your observations? The piece is medicine has become fully militarized. It is the medical industrial complex by Clayton Baker, MD. You can find it on Brownstone and make sure you follow Clayton on Twitter. His handle is at CJ Baker, MD. That is CJ Baker, MD. We will be back in a moment to finish up the show right here on the Shannon Joy Show. Hey everyone, just want to pause for a moment to thank our sponsors over at Shell Shock CBD. That is shellshockcbd.com. Make sure you use the promo code ShannonJoy for 10% off all of their products. We love this company, and I want to draw your attention today to a study that I found from 2014 published at NIH. This is a double-blind, randomized, placebo-controlled parallel group study of THC CBD spray and peripheral neuropathic pain treatment. And in the conclusion of this study, they found, and I quote, "These findings demonstrate that in a meaningful proportion of otherwise treatment-resistant patients, clinically important improvements in pain, sleep quality, and SGIC of the severity of their condition are obtained with the THC CBD spray." So as you know, we've been talking about the medicinal benefits of CBD. I use a non-THC CBD product called Rackout from Shell Shock CBD that has me sleeping like a baby. And there are more and more studies out there showing that CBD is a really great alternative for people who want to stay off pharmaceutical products. And that's why I love the folks over at Shell Shock CBD. They have a whole variety of tinctures and creams and gummies and CBD products, both THC and non-THC, which is what I use, that are helping people to ease a whole variety of problems, whether it's stress, anxiety, sleeplessness, or even pain. They have the topical cream called Topical Thunder that people swear by. The reviews are fantastic. And as I've mentioned, the Rackout gummies, which is what I use when I can't sleep. It's an amazing product. I would love for you guys to try it out. If you go to shellshockcbd.com, that's shellshockcbd.com, you can get some of their products, the gummies particularly, in sample packs so that you don't have to buy and invest in the whole product. You can try it out, see it if you like it. And as John Burke always says, if you are not completely satisfied, they always give you a 100% money back guarantee. That is how confident they are in their products over at Shellshock CBD. So please support the companies that support the Shannon Joy Show. Go to shellshockcbd.com right now, today. Put in that promo code Shannon Joy and begin to experience the benefits of the medicinal benefits of Shellshock CBD. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back, everyone, to the final segment of the Shannon Joy Show this Friday. So thrilled to be joined by my good friend, Dr. Clayton Baker, who is with me in the studio. And I think I might have muted you. I'm going to try to unmute you right now. Oh, man. I muted myself, too. What, can you say something, Dr. Baker?
Stop. No, you can hear me now.
You got me there for a minute. Yeah.
you walked right into it. I couldn't not do it.
Well, you know, I know. You know, usually it's your cutting humor and your sarcasm are on display. You've been a little serious today, Dr. Baker. See that?
All right, I can try to pick it up here in the last segment if you want.
No, you don't have to. You're fantastic. You're absolutely fantastic. Really important piece. And really, you guys just have to know this about Dr. Baker. I mean, again, I am always looking for consistency. I'm looking for the most courageous people on the face of the planet who have a lot to lose and yet will still stand up and speak out. And that was Dr. Baker in like March of 2020. I mean, he knew immediately and at great risk to his reputation here locally in New York. He was an amazing resource to those of us who are out there in the front lines. We needed a medical doctor to help back up some of the things that we were saying. He was that voice of authority and reason. And Dr. Baker, I will forever be thankful for you. I will never forget. We were in the foxhole together in 2020.
Yes, we were. And it's I won't forget it either. The people that I met during that time, and a lot of them you didn't get to see in person for 6 months, 9 months.
Right.
I consider them to be, honestly, the only thing I can say is they're like war buddies now. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't see them for a while. And then when you do see them, it's like you saw them 15 minutes ago and you revert to the same stories. It's there's something about that. I don't know what it is, partly shared suffering and partly just knowing that you're doing something really fundamental and important together. And you find people, and I found people that I sort of trust implicitly, which replaced an awful lot of people that I realized I just don't share much with in terms of any real lasting values. It's a much more superficial relationship with other people that I previously, would hang out with and so on. Not all of them, but a fair number.
Yeah. Well, and it is a strange, strange war too, isn't it? Like 21st century warfare, one of the most bizarre elements is that 85% of the people on the planet don't know we're at war. Like, at least during World War II, you had the war bonds and you had the war effort and everyone knew like...
Yeah, I do. But, you know, I think throughout Vietnam, how many people were kind of oblivious to really what was going on over there? And that was, you know, not a world war, but there was an awful lot going on and millions of people were being killed. And we don't know what's going on, you know, we really don't know what's going on in the Middle East right now. We're always in the dark to some extent. And you hear the stories about just how the youthful population of men in the Ukraine is just being absolutely destroyed. I mean, a generation of men are being killed in the Ukraine. And we don't hear about that. Now, Ukraine's gone on the back burner, except when they want more money. So we really are always in the dark. We're just more aware that we're in the dark now, I suppose.
As connected as we are, it's very difficult to even know what the truth is. I think this is why we are going to move into a quasi-hyper-localism. I think that's going to be on the horizon in the next 10 to 20 years where people really do, because they won't be able to trust their eyes and ears on screens because there'll be so many lies disseminated. I think people will then revert back humans in order to survive. And I pray that this is the case because I think this would be good, but revert back to a communitarianism or a localism that is very robust. And I think that's where we need to go because then you can trust your own eyes and ears. But let's finish out here I believe that we're at war. I believe we are in the midst of war, in the middle of it, right? I believe that COVID-19 in 2020 was just the beginning, and they are going to launch much more at us, especially if they get away with covering up what happened and ignoring what happened. You really lay this out very clearly, and medicine has been fully militarized in this piece in Brownstone. And what if you were to explain the war, and I know this is a big question, this is a hard one. Who are the villains? Who are the good guys? Where are the battlegrounds? What are the weapons deployed? I know we talked a little bit about the bioweapons and psychological warfare and that type of stuff, but how do you see this? Where are we at in this? And you're a historian as well as a medical doctor, a Renaissance man, so to speak. So, you know, you can speak to this. Just from your perspective, where do you think we are here?
I think we're at kind of, you know, it's like Winston Churchill, this isn't the end, this isn't the beginning of the end, but it may be the end of the beginning. I think we're kind of at the end of the beginning, you know,
right,
the first round one is behind us. And so the question is, what do we do next? And I think one thing that we do is anyone who is meaningfully resisting, like all the farmers in Europe right now, we need to support them in any way we can. Absolutely support, whether it's vocally just to write to people around you, whether it's if you're on a media, social media kind of platform, whatever it may be, you really need to support the people that are standing up against really the globalist interests, which, you know, that's really, I think, one of the places it originates. I think another place where it originates, because we do know that the WHO and the UN are largely funded by globalist interests like Gates and Wellcome Trust and so on. But they're also funded heavily by the Chinese. So we know that that's another kind of adversary that we're facing at a very very high level. And then I think it I wouldn't say
almost like a feudal sovereign. Like it's
absolutely
like the WHO, the UN, the WEF, and the players almost make up like a sovereign. They're like a sovereign nation. They don't have borders per se or a physical geographic.
Absolutely. Well, if you think about European history, you know, these countries, and it's not just the Ukraine, you know, people who were against the Ukraine war were rightly saying the Ukraine has always, I mean, most of its history has been a part of Russia. It's usually has not been a sovereign nation. Now, for better or for worse, I'm not saying that Russia should dominate the Ukraine. I'm just saying that's the fact. That's the historical fact. But, you know, look at Germany. Germany was not a unified country until the 19th century. Italy was not a unified country until the 19th century. The Habsburgs controlled, you know, Central Europe and Spain for a lot of history up until the 1700s.
Right.
So if you're a Rothschild, or if you're somebody who's 12th generation semi-royalty in Europe, you don't think in terms of these current borders that have been there since the end of World War II. You think in terms of what your family's been doing since the year 1200. And what that is basically raping and pillaging and controlling everything you can, and running banks and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So it's really
funding both sides of the war, fomenting war and then funding both sides.
Exactly. I mean, look at where do they have their meetings? They have them in Switzerland, the one place that is essentially as self-protective and insular and amoral as there is a country on the face of the earth. So all of this stuff is really centuries old in the large. And I think that's just something we have to keep in mind. And it doesn't respect national borders, and it doesn't respect, and it never has.
Right.
You know, did Napoleon respect national borders?
No.
Not really.
No.
You know, so
they never do.
Right. So this really to say, you know, for us to say this is our country and all this is a relatively new concept.
Well, and for you really to say that, like something just became very clear to me when you said that, right? So when people are like, I can't believe our government would do this, or I can't believe our leaders would do this, or and they can't fathom the horror and the evil of what happened with Operation Warp Speed in the lockdowns, right? And you're right. You couldn't fathom that in a functioning civil society with a constitution that was functioning properly and things make sense and people do things that make sense and there's relative truth or information out there that you could find to be truthful. It wouldn't make sense in that world. In the world of war, it makes complete sense.
Absolutely.
When it's about conquest, when it's about power, when it's about shaping society and culture and borders and assets and boundaries for a new 21st century, everything they've done made sense because they'll take the collateral damage.
Right.
17 million dead humans because of the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccine is like it's a blip on the screen for them.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what we're really dealing with. And it's not new. It's just a new variation on it. You know, that we are, again, I talk about how spoiled I am as a late 20th century American, but you know, it's really true. You know, we're brought up to say we live in this great country that has all these freedoms and so on. But the people that started the country warned us right from the start, you know, Franklin said, it's a republic if you can keep it, right? Well, we haven't done much to keep it lately, and that's why we're losing it. And, you know, that this is, you know, all of the Federalist Papers, if men were angels, then we wouldn't have to do these things, but they're not angels. What does it imply that they are? That they're devils a lot of the time. And so we just forget that. We think that because we have this system that is so well designed, it's going to take care of itself. Yeah. And that's an error we've made for the last, I'd say for at least the last 50 years.
Yeah. Well, this is why I'm heartened to see though, the constitutional conversation around Texas, their sovereignty, their borders, and really watching checks and balances in play, the power of the state versus the power of the executive branch and the presidency and how and the SCOTUS. I mean, you have the Supreme Court involved in this as well. And just to see that friction and to see that happening to me makes me very, very hopeful. And I don't think we're out of this. And again, you know, I think that to your point, we're at the end of the beginning and moving into the next. And I hope, and this is why I'm a dog with a bone. People get so angry with me that I talk about Trump. He's a nominee. Just vote for him. That is a huge barrier to truth and to actually winning this war. And if we want to win this war for humanity, for liberty, for our constitution and our national sovereignty as a nation, this country, we've got to push through. We've got to penetrate that and just omit those two sides of the coin, the, you know, D's and R's and Trump and Biden. We can't get there without them being exposed and taken down, sadly. So Trump has to go, you know, I'm sorry.
No, I agree with you. I mean, as we've said before, I've said to you before, and I think you probably agree with me that there's really only two major candidates that passed the quote unquote COVID test, in my opinion. Mm. One of them obviously is Bobby Jr. and the other is Ron DeSantis. And DeSantis is out of the race now. So really Bobby's the only one that you can trust to say anything truthful, much less almost to say anything about COVID, which again, to my mind, is clearly the most important world event since World War II. It's
the
new world war. And I think the other thing that I would just like to point out is that I think it's really important that we see the things that I would focus on if I were a person speaking to my friends, is just, look, this was a bioweapon. Mm-hmm. The jab is the countermeasure to it. And once you see that, things really start to fall into place. Mm-hmm. And then you start to say, you know, disease X is, to me, in my mind, I'm not worried about Ebola. I'm worried about the next COVID. I'm worried about whatever Ralph Barrick's cooking up at your North Carolina right now.
Isn't there a cancer outbreak in North Carolina right now?
There is. Supposedly there is a very sad situation. There's supposedly 20 people who have worked in one lab at UNC now have cancer. It was reported in, I think, the Daily Mail. You know, it won't get reported in the U.S. press, but in the British press. And I don't know the details beyond that too much, but I do know that that's been widely reported. And, you know, you just kind of wonder what's going on in that laboratory that 20 people are coming down with a similar cancer.
Let me tell you the full story, the Kill Shot documentary that I did, and this is so interesting, but back in the 1960s, I mean, this was 1963, 3 months before the assassination of John F. Kennedy Jr., right, in New Orleans. It was Lee Harvey Oswald, a whole cast of characters, and they were conducting some of the very first, and I think most crude type of gain of function research in filthy, filthy, disgusting labs surrounding Ochsner clinics in New Orleans in 1963. You would not believe what they did. And we have firsthand account. We have an eyewitness interview with Judith Vary Baker, which is fascinating in this documentary. And they were building a cancer weapon, a cancer shot that they were told would be administered to Fidel Castro and would help them win the Cold War. So there were political elements here. I digress in all of that. It's an unbelievable story. And I'm going to be expanding on that, by the way. We're going to go back even deeper into polio. There's a lot of shenaniganizing that went down with polio.
Oh, yes.
A lot of shenaniganizing. But every one of those individuals, save Judith Vary Baker, and she was probably the smartest of all of them. She was a prodigy, a scientist, and really understood what she was doing in terms of weaponizing cancer, growing tumors, and creating this weaponized cancer. But every person involved died of a type of cancer that was involved in those clinics, and it was very, very tragic story. But
I have a confession to make. I'm one of your 200,000 viewers of the Kill Shot. I saw that.
Yeah.
It was very good.
Very first one. You guys have to give me a little bit of grace here. Like, I've never done a documentary before, but
very entertaining, very informative, very worth watching if you haven't already. It really is.
But it just goes to show you, man, this gain of function, this is bio warfare. This is exactly what you can't call it anything else. COVID was a bioweapon, undisputable. And to your point, that vaccine is absolutely the countermeasure. Mm-hmm. So really great interview, Dr. Baker. Everyone on the live chat, I'm looking at all of your comments here, guys, and everyone loves you. You're great. Great interview. You're making a lot of sense to a lot of people, Dr. Baker. So I really, really appreciate a great guest, great show. Jim, avid golfer, wants to know if you're taking patients. He's in very high demand, very high demand. No, you're fantastic. No, thank you guys so much for being with us. Make sure you give us a thumbs up and push us out. If I had a moderator, they'd be pulling up questions because people have questions, they have comments. But I can only do so much with the self-production. It's hard enough for me to like get the live stream going and get the mic working and get your mic working and run my little commercials and do my little thing. Like, way too complicated to go in and read all the comments and find the good ones, but maybe we'll get a moderator at some point. We'll figure it out.
Well, yeah, it's a pleasure always to be on your show, and I love your listeners too. And it's my pleasure. So anytime you want me back, let me know.
Oh, absolutely. We will absolutely have your back.
I'll try to be more sarcastic next time.
I know. I'm sorry. I mean, sometimes you lay it on thick, but you're always good. Dr. Baker, any final words? We have a couple minutes to the audience. Where do you want them to go? How can they support you? And what are you up to next as we close out?
Well, I think. Thank you for that. I think the most important thing is if you're interested in what I have said today, check out my stuff on Brownstone. One I might recommend to people, just to give you something to kind of think about doing yourselves, is looking at the 10 New Year's resolutions to restore medical freedom, which was came out at the end of December. It's a little longer, and it just gives some ideas that people can do as individuals to fight for medical freedom and fight against these forces that brought us to this point through COVID. And I think that's, you always want to try to come up with a positive recommendation or suggestion for people. And I think the other thing is, I said this when we were at one of your live events, you have to learn how to say respectfully, firmly, you just have to learn how to say no to things. And we all are conditioned to be very polite, and we're all conditioned to be very, agreeable. But if something doesn't seem right, particularly in your medical care, you have a right, and you almost have a, you do have a duty to yourself and to your family to say no. Yeah. And you go, you can say no, and I'll find out more about it. And when you find out more about it, you can decide whether you've changed your mind or not. But your autonomy as an individual should be essentially sacred to your physicians. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be something where you're taking one for the team. It's just not the way it works.
Never fall for that ever again.
Don't ever fall for that again. And if you did, then you know what's done is done, but you don't fall for that again. You make your own intelligent, informed decision, the best information you can get at the time, and you live with what happens to that, but you don't get hoodwinked. Yeah. And there's just too much going on in the profession right now that you cannot trust. Mm. It doesn't mean everybody's untrustworthy, but too much of it is untrustworthy. And a lot of people, it's amazing to me. I've talked to other doctors about this. A lot of people don't, just like doctors are people, just like everybody else. And they are trained and conditioned to follow protocols and to follow rules, and they're punished if they don't. And, mm-hmm. you know, so there's not, it's not a bastion of free thinking. You know, yeah. you know, they tend to be people that are fairly conformist. And so you have to be aware of that.
Yeah. I wish that people would go in and have frank discussions with their medical doctors, even if it's slightly uncomfortable. I think just giving medical doctors the knowledge that there's a whole other realm out there of thinking and discourse and study outside of the establishment medical community is a benefit. And to your point, yes, you know, say no, you know, never let them get away with this again, because they're going to try it. They're going to try another round, and we've got to be prepared for that. And I love that you have 10 things for people to actually do. I love giving people solid things. This is one of my big gripes about conservative media. It's always anxiety and hype and anger and anxiety and hype and anger and one outrage after another, the left, Biden, 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 look what they're doing. And it's never, there's only one solution, and that's to vote for Trump in 9 months. And I'm like, really, that's it? That's all people can do? Come on. And it's not the truth. And unfortunately, that's kind of what has made our culture. Well, that's why we're in the pickle we're in today, Dr. Baker, because they're not doing civic things that you're talking about.
Right.
We're sitting back and watching TV, and we got to stop doing that. So,
I think you're right.
All right, everyone, Dr. Clayton Baker, make sure that you follow him. Follow him right now. There are almost 200 of you watching live on Rumble. And so I want you guys to go to Twitter right now. Every single one of you, first of all, give us a thumbs up here on Rumble, okay? Share this with everyone you know. Give us a comment in the live chat. This helps the algorithm. It helps us to grow. And right now I want you to hop over to Twitter and give Dr. Clayton Baker a follow. He is new on Twitter, and he is slowly but diligently building up his followers. What do you have? A little over 2,000 now, Dr. Baker?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
A little over 2,000. So this is what I want you to do. Go to Twitter right now. His handle is at CJBakerMD. Give him a follow. And then I want you to retweet that and say, hey, you should follow this guy. He's a fantastic medical doctor and commentator. He's a regular on Brownstone Institute and the Shannon Joy Show. We love him. And so invite all of your followers to follow him too. And maybe we could get a little bump for you on Twitter. And it's always a pleasure to have you here on the Shannon Joy Show, Dr. Baker. And I hope that, well, I don't hope, you will absolutely be a regular feature as we move into a very tumultuous 2024 election year. Everything but the kitchen sink. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? I looking around every corner, when are they going to throw the next thing at us? And we are white knuckled on this roller coaster with all of you. And we promise to always tell you the truth as best as we can about the news of the day. So thank you all for being with us today. Thank you for watching the show. Again, support our sponsors. If you like what I do, go to theshannonjoy.com. That's theshannonjoy.com, and set up those monthly contributions. You guys are so generous. I could not do what I do. Don't judge my website. It is really bad right now, but we are building from scratch a beautiful beautiful new website. I cannot wait to launch it. We're just weeks away. But you can set up the contributions there. And it is your contributions that help me to invest in the platforms and continue to push this show out to as many people as I possibly can. So that's all because of you. And very, very blessed and thankful for all of you. So have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Clayton, you too, spend some time with the family. We have to rest. So turn everything off. Turn off your TV, your social media, the news. Spend time with your family. And we will come back on Monday ready to fight, ready to go for liberty right here on the Shannon Joy Show. Hey everyone, Shannon Joy for Connecta Mobile. So when I started my show 10 years ago, I would talk to my friends about privacy and the Fourth Amendment, and they would look at me like I had three heads. Now, fast forward to 2024, post-COVID, and everyone is talking about privacy. We are freaked out by AI, grossed out by government surveillance, and very aware that data is the new gold. Combine that with the new reality that your whole life and all of your data is on your phone and in the palm of your hands, making you a sitting duck for common hackers, corporate hustlers, or government spies. Are you going to let them get away with that? Well, I'm not. And that's why I use my Connecta mobile phone as the official business phone for Joy Media. That's because Connecta is the only phone company that specializes in security and privacy above all else. Call Connecta Mobile today and talk to a real person who lives in the United States about securing your devices and communications for as little as $35 a month. Their basic plan includes device encryption, encrypted text and data, also a free phone. That's just the beginning. Call 941-246-2156 to talk to a representative. That's 941-246-2156. Or go to phone123.com/joy today. That's phone123.com/joy. Get securely connected today only with Connecta.